Welcome to I'm Feeling Queer Today. This season, we're taking a queer road trip all around the country.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Cape Cod.
Provo, Utah.
Columbus, Ohio.
Philadelphia.
To answer the big question, what is it like to be queer where you live?
Utah is known as like the Mormon state,
but we actually have a really big community, and for the most part, it's really loving.
If I want to be a queer Mormon, I can be a queer Mormon.
I always say I love Columbus, I don't like Ohio.
I'm trans, so like I hope they can see Spartanburg. You can be a reasonably happy queer adult.
Provincetown taught me to be more adventurous. I get free drag shows every day, just have to look out my window.
You know what place is really cool? Philly. I mean, we have a gayborhood for a reason, you guys.
I'm Feeling Queer Today. New episodes drop every Thursday.
Y'all, if you are a queer parent, and I have a feeling you might be, and you're dreaming of the ultimate family getaway, you have to check this out, y'all. Gays with Kids is hosting their fifth annual LGBTQIA+ Family Spring Break from April 2nd through April 6th, 2026. Mark that on your calendars. It is going to be the perfect mix of fun, community, and a beautiful chance to build real connections with other LGBTQIA families, like mine, because we're going to be there. We're going to be there, too, and I want to see you there. This is it going to be 3 nights aboard Royal Caribbean International, cruising through the Bahamas, surrounded by other amazing queer families. If this sounds like your kind of trip, because it does for me, you're going to head to the link in the show notes to grab your spot. Oh, and don't forget to mention that you heard about it from the Queer Family Podcast. And come say hi to me when you're there. Okay, I hope to see you there. Let's get on with this show. This episode and the entire year's worth of episodes is proudly brought to you by California Cryobank. Use code QUEERFAM25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's go make those babies and then let's talk about it. Okay.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
You never go into having a baby with someone and expecting to not be together within a year. But yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Welcome, y'all, to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I'm Jamie, your host, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And that's LGBTQIA+, for those of you who don't know the French way of saying it, LGBTQIA. Anyway, this episode is a really great one. I had the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with Kirsty Lohr. Kirsty is an author who also happens to be a queer parent, obviously, as most parents are on this show. She's a lesbian mom and she's in a blended family now. She has a co-parenting situation and a girlfriend with kids, as well as her kids. So it's a blended situation. It's a really great episode, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So let's just go ahead and listen. I got not much else to say, and there keep being sirens coming down my block. One of these days, y'all, one of these days, I'm going to take this little operation out of my bedroom in New York City and take it to a real live studio. One of these days, and I won't have to deal with sirens outside and construction in the apartments around me. And you won't have to look at the bed that's behind me. But you can look at all of my gorgeous trophies that I've gotten for the awards we've gotten on this show. So maybe that little dream of being in an actual studio will come true one day soon. Anyway, until then, you get to see my bedroom, if you look at the videos. Anyway, let's do this. Let's roll the tape. Kirsty's episode is great, and you're going to hear about Kirsty's books that everybody needs to get copies of. So let's go ahead and roll that tape. Helen, Beulah, they don't exist. I'm here alone in my apartment. Helen and Beulah, my lovely assistants, please get up from the couch and roll this tape. Let's go. Let's hear Kirsty's episode.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Kirsty.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. You are coming in from Brighton, England.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never been there. I've actually only been to London once in my life, which is so sad. And I was only there for a day and a half.
Where were you going? What were you doing?
We were going to Paris. So, and we stopped for a day in London and we took the train. I need to go back because I want to go. I want to go see the sights, do the things.
London's the best. It's my favorite city in the world, I think, London.
Is it?
Yeah, I've traveled a fair bit too.
Interesting.
But I always find my way back to London. Yeah, I love it. It's the best. But I don't live there. But yeah, I love it.
I love New York. I live here. And I love Paris.
Of course.
And I love San Francisco. Just because I'm from there.
Well, I mean, New York is up there, isn't it? Are you from San Francisco?
I am, yeah.
Ah, okay, right. I've been to San Francisco. Loved it.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful city.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of beautiful places in the world, but that's not what we're here to talk about. Let's talk about you and why you're here talking to the Queer Family Podcast, or the Queer Family Squad, as I like to call the listeners. Are you ready?
Yeah, that's good.
On your mark, get set, go.
So my name's Kirsty Law.
Kirstie. I've been saying it wrong.
Don't worry. Half of my family are American. And my dad calls me Christy, even though he knows my name is Kirsty. So don't worry.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So no worries. It's a name that you don't really find in the US. So yeah, my name's Kirsty Law. I'm a writer, an English teacher, an examiner. I have a son that I had with my ex-wife. I'm a queer person. I identify as a lesbian. I currently live in Brighton with my girlfriend and her two kids. So we're currently rocking the whole blended family unit thing at the moment, which is very new. And yeah, just kind of figuring out how to do that at the moment. But yeah, that's it.
All right. That's lovely. You did go over, but it's kind of my fault because I interrupted you because I said your name wrong. I've been saying your name wrong. Why didn't you tell me earlier? Oh, geez.
Because people always do. It's like my first name and my last name is just difficult for a lot of people.
And your last name is Lore?
Yeah, but the spelling is a little crazy.
Yeah, it's a little different. But Kirsty is not that hard. You're green. Like, I see your name on the screen, and I see now that it says Kirsty. And I know Kirsty Alley, the actress, so I should have picked up on that. But anyway, so I'm so sorry. I've been saying your name
wrong.
Don't
worry.
I won't do it again. So Kirsty, all right. Okay, we got a lot to dig into. And I know you have a book that we're going to discuss. We're going to discuss that towards the end, but first we need to know about how you got to the parenting state you're in right now, or the life state you're in right now. You have a son that you birthed. So can we first hear that story, and then we'll hear about how you got into this blended situation, because I love a good blended story.
Yeah. Well, so I didn't birth my son. He was...
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So it was reciprocal IVF.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, so biologically, he is related to me. So it was my egg and into my ex-wife. And then, yeah, she grew him and birthed him.
I can't believe I just asked I just assumed the most heteronormative thing, which I don't do. Like, on this like, if anybody straight asks me a question like that, I am quick to, like, respond that, oh, my God, that is so straight of you to ask me that. And I just did it to you. Interesting. Okay, so now this is my second mistake. Look at this. This is going splendidly.
No, that's just heteronormativity. If we live in that world, it rubs off on us, doesn't it? It's not our fault.
It's terrible. Yeah. So you did reciprocal IVF with your ex-wife. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how long had you been living the queer life?
All my life, I guess. I mean, I came out. I always think I came out pretty late, but a lot of people don't agree. But I came out when I was about 19. I think looking back, I always realized, well, you always do, don't you, when you look back. But it kind of took me a long time to get there. I was a bit scared of coming out. I didn't really know what that life looked as an adult. And I was reluctant to live that life as an adult, maybe because of the time where I grew up or the place, or I don't really know. But as soon as I came out, that was it. Just living the queer life.
Way to go. Way to go, you. And you and your wife made the baby, reciprocal IVF, everything went great. And then what happened?
We were really lucky. It worked the first time quite smoothly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. The problems
so
came
not
after.
Fair.
No, I know. Yeah, it was really smooth. When he was born, he was in the ICU for 2 weeks. So it was like after it. The whole reciprocal IVF went smoothly, and then after it was all like, so he was a bit ill when he was born, and then obviously we broke up and separated and divorced.
I want to get to where you're going, but I always dig into more about the origin story of the kids. So I do want to ask about donor. What kind of a donor did you use? A known donor, sperm, anonymous sperm? Like, what was your story there?
The sperm bit was always, it used to always freak me out a little bit. I was really not looking forward to that bit. I didn't really know what it entailed. But we used the European Sperm Bank, and then it became my favorite bit. It was like shopping on Amazon. I loved it.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And you get loads of information. It's safe and it's a really easy process. It's expensive, but it was a really easy, smooth process for us. And you do kind of get to choose your ideal, I guess, in what you want the baby, don't you, to reflect the pair of you. So you get the chance to do that. So there's a lot of cool things about having a queer kid, a family in it. A kid in a queer family, and that you do get to choose these certain elements that heterosexual people wouldn't get the chance to.
Right. I actually lovingly refer to this, the donor search, as the search for the superhuman, because we get all the choices. And sometimes because we get all the choices, we get so many choices, we get a little cuckoo with it too. Like I got a little cuckoo. Like I was ruling people out left and right for the most random things. And people I talk to on the show always have a story or two about like the things that they started to worry about when it came to this donor and who they were, you know, who they were choosing for their offspring, which is funny.
100%. I was doing the same. Like there was one who was allergic to cats. And I was like, no way. Just can't have it. Just can't have someone being allergic to cats. And then I am a lesbian,
for Christ's sake. Like
I know, but it's important. But then you're paying a lot of money, aren't you, as well? But you do get a bit crazy because you want it to be perfect, don't you?
Right, because when you can make the choices, then you want them to be the exact right choices. So, you know, many of us go down a rabbit hole of what is the right choice. And then, of course, the both of you have to be on the same page. And, you know, there's binders full of donors that you've created and a checklist. You know, we get insane. But in the end, we get the kid we were meant to get. And everything is perfect always, right? But the search for the superhuman, it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah, it definitely is.
And it's something that bonds so many of us queer parents together. Like, it's always a fun topic to talk about, actually. So you went the European Sperm Bank. What is it? I don't know much about the European Sperm Bank. I know that there are pretty stringent the donors who can donate. Like, at least that's what I've heard in the past. Am I right here or am I wrong?
Yeah.
Because it's different here.
I guess. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
The European Sperm Bank represents UK laws and European laws in that there's no contact with the donor at all until my son is 18. And then...
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then he would be allowed to go and find this person. But before that, absolutely nothing. But I know in some countries there's just... Or with some companies, there's just a complete zero. You're not allowed to go and reach anyone.
That's changed. Like, at least in the States now, that's not allowed. Like, you can't have a completely anonymous donor. They have to be at least willing to be contacted when the child or children turn 18.
Yeah.
It used to be that you could pick one that was completely anonymous. Like, when I was trying, my oldest is 11. When we were trying, you could get a completely anonymous donor. So it hasn't been that long since it's been changed, but...
With the European Sperm Bank too, there's only baby pictures you get. You don't get an adult photograph. But I know with some companies, there are adult photographs.
Well, when we were trying, it was only baby photos. But now many of the sperm banks here offer adult photos too. I think you have to pay more, but they're there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Such an interesting thing that bonds us all. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Phew, all that talk about sperm banks got me thinking about my promo code with California Cryo Bank, the number one sperm bank in the U.S. that ships to over 50 states and over 40 countries and has one of the most diverse selections of sperm donors around. You're just going to use code QUEERFAM25 and it's going to get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog, which gives you all the information you need about these donors. And when it comes to queer family building, the more information we can get, the better. So just go to cryobank.com, use code QUEERFAM25, and you're going to get a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that code towards a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information. Go make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
Then baby's born, and he sounds like he was a bit sick in the beginning, but it sounds like things smoothed out there.
Yeah, yeah. Thankfully, all good.
Then a divorce happens, it sounds like. Can you talk through that a little?
You never go into having a baby with someone and expecting to not be together within a year. But yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh, that's quick.
Yeah, I know, really quick. Well, we got married a year after, and then 7 months later we split. But, you know, having a baby's hard. But I wouldn't, obviously, it's not all of that. But it doesn't help when a relationship isn't already great. Having a baby is definitely not the way to try and fix that, because it's just going to blow up in your face, which it did.
That's quick, though. So how was the divorce? Was it amicable?
Yeah, it's still not gone through yet. But I mean, yeah, it was amicable on both sides. It's just you go into having a baby thinking you're going to see your son every day to suddenly having your son 50%, because we share custody, 1 week on, 1 week off, which is horrific. Nobody wants that. No one wants to see their child every other week. But no. It is what it is. And he's got two parents that love him a lot. And he's got two separate houses and two great lives. And that's just how it is now. And it's all he'll ever know. He won't remember anything else.
No, because he was so young. He was a baby. Baby. How old is he now?
He is 4. He turned 4 in June.
Oh, he's still a baby.
Yeah, he just started school, actually.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. You miss milestones. And yeah, it's got to be hard. It's got to be so hard. I hear you. Legally, in regards to, because it's complicated in the States when it comes to us queer parents. When it comes to guardianship, like in the States, we have to get second parent adoption it's highly advised that we get second parent adoption to just make sure the non-bio parent is safe. A couple of questions here. Since you did reciprocal IVF.
Yeah.
Legally, are you known as the bio mom, or is your ex the bio parent?
It's so complicated. So legally, I am the bio mom. But on the birth certificate, because she birthed him, she's automatically the mother on the birth certificate. And I am the parent on the birth certificate.
Oh.
But when we went through the clinic at the beginning and we went through all the paperwork, you both sign everything to show that you are both the parents. So you don't need to legally adopt. You just are both the parents. So birth certificates have now changed from mother, father to mother, parent. So you can have parent, but you can't have two mothers, which I always find weird. But anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, even if a trans man birthed a baby, they would be the mother on the birth certificate still, because mother is the word used that is just the person who births the baby.
Oh,
which is
wow.
Really, 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 really confusing.
Yeah. Why can't it just be parent?
I don't know. Or if a trans man just wants to be father, why can't they just be father? But
right. Yeah. Why can't they?
But at the clinic, we both signed a lot of paperwork to show that we are both the parents. So no one needs to legally adopt anyone. We are both the parents of our son. And also because it was amicable, I mean, we don't get on well, very well as people, but we do have the best interests of our son. So because everything is amicable on that part, there's no threatenings of going to court, or because I guess that's where it could get messy, right? When someone wants custody or full-time custody, you know, luckily we're not going through that, hopefully, in the future, but I guess it depends on everyone's situation, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Knock wood there. At least, you know, you're at least known as a parent legally, and you're not going to have to prove that. You're just going to have to, you know, possibly fight. I don't know. Hopefully that never happens. So we're not even going to go down that path.
Yeah.
But okay, so that's all interesting about parentage rights. It's just crazy that we even have to ask that question about parentage rights, right? But that's queer for you.
But they also change so often. So you never know what's around the corner, do you? Ever?
Yeah, no.
Which is terrifying.
No, and things are headed in the wrong direction right now. So.
Of course. Same here. You know, you just don't know. You don't know what's next. Maybe one day I am his legal mum. Maybe the next day I'm not. It's just, you know, it's a terrifying world that we live in.
Fingers crossed. So, all right. So you split up, you get it figured out. And then when does the girlfriend come into the picture? And let's talk through that and how your life was as a single mom for a while, I suppose.
I was a single mom for a while, and it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And as I said, it was 50-50, so it wasn't full time, but it was hard. Emotional. I think, you know, I cried a lot. It was just hard, really hard. But also the best thing I've ever done in my life, actually. Really, really was. Rewarding, really good for me and him. We've built up a relationship that probably we wouldn't have had this type of relationship if we were still together with my ex. Not to say it's better or worse. It's just a different type of relationship. We're very close. It's really nice. And then I met someone who had two kids from a heterosexual relationship with her ex-husband. Then we fell in love. And then, yeah, now we're in this big blended family.
Okay. Wait, I got to dig deep. I got to dig in here. Okay, first of all, just to take it to the single parenting thing, I can only imagine yet again, because, you know, there's no way to go. You have to do it. There's no handoff. There's no nothing, especially with a baby. But that's beautiful what you said about just the bond you two created together. I love that. And then how did you meet? She was a straight woman.
Not straight.
I mean, she was living straight life, I should say.
Yeah, this is it's a big thing for her. So we can't say that she's straight. She'd get mad.
She's not straight.
She'd get mad at me.
She's not straight. Yeah, no.
But yeah, no, she was married. She was married to a man. So she was living that straight lifestyle, you know, married, two kids. Then that ended and we met. And I was happy that I'd never dated anyone that had kids before, ever. It was quite a new thing for me. And obviously I had a kid. So it was nice to share that. Her kids are a bit older. So her kids are 9 and 7. Yeah, so they're a little bit older.
That's like me. That mine are 11 and 7.
Okay, right. But they're really good with my son. And everyone gets on really well, weirdly. But we'll see.
And it's nice to be with somebody who's been through it, right?
Mm.
So how long have the two of you been together?
We've been together nearly 2 years.
Okay.
And we've just moved in together. Because she lived in London and I lived in Brighton. But she's just moved to Brighton.
All right. And how's it all going?
Well, it's like I went from being a single parent to now having a bit of help and then forgetting that two people, it's so much, not easier, but just with two adults, it's a lot better. But then also my single parent head is still a bit like, hey, you know, I've got this. I can look after my son.
Right.
So it's quite difficult to accept the help. But when there's three of them, three kids, it's just chaos, isn't it? Oof. Pure chaos. I'm not used to that at all.
No. Is there joint custody happening with your girlfriend as well for her two kids?
Yeah, it's a bit more complicated, I think, with those two.
Gotcha. So you have your son 50-50 at this point?
Yeah, complete 50-50, yeah.
Okay. And how did your ex handle the new partner and that dynamic? Because now you're bringing, what was it like bringing a new adult into your son's life for everyone involved? And I know you can't speak for your ex or your partner, but try. Well, I'm just kidding.
Do it. But well, actually, my ex-wife, she actually met someone immediately after we broke up. And not to go into too much detail, but it wasn't great. And she moved my son into the house immediately as well. Yeah, I know. So yeah, I don't really want to, not much detail into that. So yeah, he, I guess, was used to that on her side of having another partner. I didn't introduce him to anyone until I met my partner now. I mean, I dated a little bit, but no one serious. So yeah, for me, it was quite different. I was very careful, took quite a long time. I was also quite enjoying the just me and him thing, even though it was really, really, really hard. Mm-hmm. It was just beneficial in the long run, I think. I did it quite slowly. But then, yeah, everything's fine. Everyone gets on reasonably well. We don't really have to see much of each other because we do drop off at school. So you just pick up at school and you don't really have to see the other person.
That's good. And so now you're all moved in. You're figuring out this parenting thing together. And I spoke with someone earlier in the season, Jose Rolon. He's known. He's like an influencer, and he's known. His name is NYC Gay Dad, and he's been a single gay dad to three for their whole lives, and the oldest is 13, and he's just recently brought a partner in, and he talked a lot about just the dynamics and how it's like everyone has to work hard to make sure the spouse feels welcome, but also it's just super complicated. And I'm wondering if you can speak to just the things like you kind of alluded to it earlier. You're a single mom. I'm in single mom. No. I got this. I can do this. So like accepting the help, but then also like when it comes to discipline and you have your methods and she probably has her methods. And how do you come together on that? Because I can imagine that can be tough, like figuring it out when the kids are already here and they're certain ages and that you've already been doing it for so long separately.
Well, it's new, but these are things that are popping up. I mean, I think our parenting styles are quite similar most of the time. I think I'm a little stricter, a little bit. Mm. Than her. I think she's a bit more relaxed, and it's probably a good thing for me. She's a very relaxed person, my girlfriend. She's very chill. She's very relaxed. She's very smart. And I'm a bit uptight and a bit of a control freak. I like to have things, you know, like I need to know what I'm doing and I have everything in a row. So we're quite good for each other. I think we balance each other out. But the discipline thing, I don't know. It's already rearing its head. Our kids are getting very comfortable with the other parent now. So there's some attitude that's coming out, which is a compliment, I guess, because now they feel comfortable with us.
Yeah.
But then it's like, when do you start? I don't know. It's a conversation we're going to obviously have to have. And then as they get older, you know, around the corner is teenager for the eldest. So that's going to be a whole new challenge.
Right. Well, also now that they're all together, your youngest one is seeing what the older ones are allowed to do at a certain age. You know, the older ones, they're a different age. And so, like, I do feel like I was stricter with my kids when they were littler.
Right.
And as they've gotten older, I've had to kind of let go of the reins a bit because they start requiring this independence. And parenting does look different at different ages.
Yeah.
But then I know from my kids, like, there's a 4-year age gap. My daughter, you know, she has certain things that he doesn't. But he's seeing it. And he knows, and he tells me constantly. So when I'm 11, I get this, right? So you know what I mean? So like, depending on what your girlfriend is going to give the older ones you two work together to do, the younger one's going to expect that too.
100%. But we're kind of on the same line with that sort of stuff. It's more it's my son. It's just full on copy mode now. So the middle one, he's really, really good with my son. They get on really well. He's 7 and my son's 4. And I think he's enjoying being a big brother because he's always been the youngest. So he's like really enjoying looking after my son. But there's a lot of copying going on now. So my 4-year-old is starting to behave like the 7-year-old.
Uh-oh.
The good and the bad.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a learning process, isn't it?
And they're learning too. The whole family is learning. And that's the thing. And one of the things that complicates it, right? Like if it's only one person learning, then there's just the one person, but everybody has to learn how to blend everybody else in. I think that's what I was trying to say about what Jose was telling me as well. Everybody has to learn how to blend it all together. It's not just the adults.
Yeah.
It's everybody, right? It comes with its complications for sure, but it's beautiful. And if there's one thing queer families know how to do, it's how to put chosen family together and make units work.
For sure.
We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hey, it's Hilary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
Love is love.
I love it. I love it. So, okay. So what's going on with you now? You're blended. You've moved in. Kids are getting along great. And what else is happening in your world?
So I wrote a book about queer parenting. and mainly the history of queer parenting, because when I wanted to become a parent, it was all very new in that I didn't even know queer people could have kids. I mean, I knew they could have kids, but I didn't even know if it was a possibility for me. I didn't know about the legal loopholes, the legalities of it. I didn't know anyone else that had done it. You don't see it on TV. So a lot of people grow up, don't they, thinking, well, a lot of queer people grow up thinking, I can't have kids, or that's not a reality for me. I know I did.
Yeah, many people I've spoken to on this show, same. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when I started trying, 12 years ago, there were no books. Now there are books, and now there's podcasts like this. There's stuff, but there's still not enough, to your point, right?
And so new. So that's just 12 years ago. That's nothing. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing. And that's just a really small amount of time. Crazy.
No guidebooks.
No.
And with queer family building, there are so many decisions that have to be made and scenarios that need to be thought through. You learn by talking to your other queer friends who did it before you, right?
Exactly.
So when I first started this show, I would call, me and my previous co-host called that gay drafting. Like you would basically just do what your friends did that you knew had done it right before you. So that's like, right? So we like, our friends had their kid 4 years before we had our first. And so we literally just used their exact path. Like we didn't really know that using a known donor, like we had knew that it was kind of an option, but we didn't know anybody who had done that. So that would seem way too crazy and complicated. Our friends had used a sperm bank. So we used a sperm bank, right? But now there's more to your point about your book. So keep going with the book.
Gay drafting is just, it's great. Can I use that? That's such a good expression.
Yes, please.
But that's exactly what I did.
The search for the superhuman, the gay drafting, yes.
Yeah. That's what I did though. Like I didn't know anything. So I called my ex. My ex had done it. So I just said, how did you do that? How did you have that child? Like, can you help me?
Oh my God, wait, you just made me think of something. When me and my wife started trying, my ex and her wife were trying at the same time as well. And we would call each other too. And we basically did the same thing too, which is funny. So we were like getting advice from each other as we're going through it.
It's super common.
And talking to your ex is so lesbian.
So lesbian. I mean, we all knew that was going to be a big part of queer parenting anyway, wasn't it? But I mean, the amount of people that have asked me, exes, since having my son, two of my exes have gone on to have kids, and both of them, they obviously didn't come to me for all the advice, but they came to me to just be like, you know, how do you do certain things? Because it's a minefield.
It is.
It's scary. And it's a lot of information, and it's so overwhelming sometimes that you do need someone to just simplify it, don't you?
Yep. 100%.
And that was the reason why I wanted to write the book.
Yeah. So talk about the book, like what kind of stuff is in it and what, how, cause I have we wrote a book based on the podcast in the first two, after the first two seasons, and we go through things, but we use like transcripts from the show and like that. So what is the format of yours? How do you do it? And like, give me a rundown of what people can find inside it.
So it's just a chronological timeline of queer parenting from the beginning, because it's obviously always existed, but in just different forms. Mm-hmm. I mean, nowadays, queer people get together and choose to have children, usually. Whereas in the past, it would have probably been a case of someone having a baby in a heterosexual relationship and then maybe going off to form a queer relationship and then bringing that child into that relationship, which doesn't mean that it makes them any less queer. Now it becomes a queer family. So just lots of different examples of that. And then a bit of my own story, and then also different ways of having children. So reciprocal IVF, surrogacy, adoption, IVF, inheriting children from other families. There are lots of different ways. Being queer doesn't always mean sexuality, does it? It just means challenging the heteronormative way of being. And that can be any family.
Yes. Truth. So true. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of a queer history / ways to do it kind of book.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. What's it called?
A Short History of Queer Parenting.
I love it. Oh, that's a good title. I like that. And is it out now? Can people get it now?
It's out now.
It's out now. And people can get it. Do you have a preferred place where people get it? I know some people like to raise up indie bookstores or, you know.
It is on Amazon. But yeah, we do have to encourage to go to the indie bookstores, especially the queer ones. If there are any left, go to those ones.
And you can also like go to your local queer bookstore and request that they order some.
Oh yeah, do that.
You can do that.
Definitely do that.
You can do that. You can also do that at your local library. If like you can say, I really want this book. Can you get it? They'll get it, which is fun too, because we got to lift up the queer voices, right? So y'all, everybody go out there, get the book, go to your local library, go to your local indie bookstore and queer bookstore and tell them they need to order a couple of
these books. Yeah, do that. Definitely do
books.
That.
And you know what I did when our book came out? I used to go to the big bookstores and I would find the one copy that they had bought and you know, and then I would bring it down to like the display table, the main book display tables.
I did that with my last book.
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do, just to have it there. What other books? Wait, you've written more books. What other books have you written?
Yeah, so before this, I wrote A Short History of Queer Women, which was a chronological timeline of queer people and lesbians right from the beginning until now. Because I love history and I was just sick of not seeing myself represented. So I went and found them all and put them all in a book.
Ooh, so who was the first one? Like, who are some of the...
I guess you'd
queer
have
voices.
To say Sappho, wouldn't you? Would be the kind of the first recognized, you would say. Mm-hmm. And then Sappho was also supposed to have had a child, which makes her a queer parent too.
Hey, look at that. Who else?
Virginia Woolf, Vita Sackville-West, Lorraine Hansberry. There's billions. People that you wouldn't have heard of, people that you know, people that are hidden, black women, black working class women. Trans men that, you know, trans men and lesbians often have a very shared history, which is really nice to celebrate and look at in more detail. So there's things like that. And it's not an academic text. It's very tongue in cheek. It's funny. It's 'cause queer theory is often difficult to read, isn't it? And can be a bit jarring. So it's quite nice to just have a bit of fun in our queer world now and again.
Oh, that's awesome. So everybody go check that out too. I'm always saying that we need to know our queer history.
Oh, yeah,
we 100%. Need to know more about it. And we don't talk about the lesbians as much as we talk about the men who are gay.
No way.
No, we really don't. So that's fun. Do you include Frida Kahlo in the book? Like, do we consider Frida Kahlo gay?
Well, she's bi, isn't she?
Right.
So
she was, right?
Yeah, she was, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Oh, my God, I'm going to check this book out. I'm going to check them all out. But that's really fun. Get to know your queer history. I think it's really important, especially right now, for us to really... dig down into our history, because we might have to call on the giants whose shoulders we stand upon for the next battles ahead of us, if you know what I mean. Wow, that's amazing. And I wish you and your girlfriend a wonderful blended future together. It sounds like it's going great so far. This was really fun. It was really awesome to talk.
Thank you.
Excited to read your books. And they are out now, so go check them out.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And if anybody wants to find you, is there anywhere you tell people to go to find you?
Yeah, on Instagram, just Kirsty Law, KirstyLoehr. I don't use X anymore or whatever it's called. That's not a nice place to be.
Sure isn't.
Although Instagram owned kind of the same people, but not as violent.
Instagram is still not as violent for me as X and Facebook have proven to be. I'm afraid. I still have Facebook because you kind of have to for your business. But I've thought of getting rid of it too, because I'm like afraid to open Facebook at this time in this day and age now, because I get so much hate. I get so much hate. It's just disgusting.
Really? On Facebook?
On Facebook, yeah.
Who's giving you hate on Facebook?
Yeah. Anytime I put up a trans story, they come out of their graves and... like the trolls they are, say the most hateful, hideous things.
It's a much older crowd on Facebook, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, it is. They'll attack my family. It's really an ugly place, but I haven't gotten rid of it yet. And sometimes I get some of that on Instagram, but not as much as Facebook. Go figure. Anyway, this has really been a pleasure. It sounds like your cat wants you to pay attention to it too. So I'm gonna let you go. But this was awesome, and I thank you so much for coming on, Kirsty.
Thank you.
So in the end, Kirstie got cut off because we had a bad connection. I don't know if it's because we were across the pond, so to speak, with each other, and or I don't know if there was some internet glitch. But anyway, Kirstie got cut off as she was saying goodbye. So I'm going to say the goodbye for her. That was an awesome conversation, and everybody should go out and buy her books because we need to raise up the queer voices.
Queer Family Podcast.
A special thank you once again to California Cryobank for being a sponsor of this episode. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. And tune in next week for another amazing episode of Queer Family Goodness.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier. You're going to join and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Welcome to I'm Feeling Queer Today. This season, we're taking a queer road trip all around the country.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Cape Cod.
Provo, Utah.
Columbus, Ohio.
Philadelphia.
To answer the big question, what is it like to be queer where you live?
Utah is known as like the Mormon state,
but we actually have a really big community, and for the most part, it's really loving.
If I want to be a queer Mormon, I can be a queer Mormon.
I always say I love Columbus. I don't like Ohio.
I'm trans, so like I hope they can see Spartanburg. You can be a reasonably happy queer adult.
Provincetown taught me to be more adventurous. I get free drag shows every day. Just have to look out my window.
You know what place is really cool? Philly. I mean, we have a gayerhood for a reason, you guys.
I'm Feeling Queer Today. New episodes drop every Thursday.